Got it.
Here we go.
Cut the vacation short because I don't like vacations. So the last time I went on a vacation, I said I would never do what?
Go on vacation.
Go on a vacation again.
Felix, get in here.
I can't say you look too well rested.
I hated it. Hated every minute of it. Went on a cruise. I'll just say right now, hopefully we don't have any cruise sponsors on Kyra.
Yeah, we do.
I realized when I decided to go with playing two bingo cards to three bingo cards was the most exciting thing that was happening to me. I thought, I ain't ever back.
Are you in steerage or are you up on the boat deck? Well, it's good to have you back. I'll say that. I'll be the first to say that. It's good to have you back.
Thank you very much. All right, here we go. Should we bring Sully in here at some point? Is Sully going to come in? At some
I don't think there's any traffic. Nothing different this weekend.
I heard him get up on his soapbox this morning around 7:40.
Yeah, yeah.
And was chastised. I mean, the one thing about doing a traffic reporter is you like to do the whole, like, covering all the I-5, I-6-7, the backups and stuff.
Nally Valley Viaduct.
He's pointing out, like, behavior of one particular guy. So now it's very, very specific as to the type of traffic report that you're getting.
Right? Micro-targeted traffic report.
Not just
like
a car
it.
Facing the wrong way or a car fire, but people that are being inconsiderate to one another.
And he's given plate numbers, too, I think.
God, but no. All right. Sully, what was I referring to?
The $5,000 you owe me for the first time since 2019.
Yeah.
I did that a couple of times. I think I tweeted out twice this morning that we're better than that.
Yes, you did say that.
And because,
but obviously we're not. When people say we're better than that, if they're not better than that, then they're not better than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's one of the things was allowing people to merge. There was one at one point this morning where I saw someone who had their blinker on and was trying and trying and trying to get over, but no one would let, they kept crowding up.
Right.
Like, come on. All that does is make the overall commute bad for everybody, not just that one driver. And, right. and that was just the kind of one example that I saw many times, but yeah. I just used it that one example. I can't remember the second one was looky-loo slowdowns. This drove me insane
yes.
this morning. Because we all know that the I-5 corridor is going to take most of the diversion uh-huh. from the viaduct. And we had a crash this morning up near Seneca, like at 5:20 this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It was never blocking. It was on the shoulder. And yet, we had a 5-mile backup on our primary alternate because people were slowing down because of the flashing lights.
Yes.
Like, come on. We don't need that. And so that what started off a bad drive on I-5 that never really recovered.
Didn't they feel like they're participating in some big national or regional event? This is Viadoom. This is, I want to see a picture. I want to see there's a car blocking I-5. This is, I'm
But the
I'm
car
part of it.
Wasn't
I'm in it.
Blocking.
Oh.
The car was on the shoulder. And so was the cop behind it.
Hmm.
It was like, oh, look, flashing lights. And we created a 5-mile backup.
Right.
We got to be better
My suggestion
that.
Has always been, first of all, Lucky Lou should be jailed. I think that they should do what they do in England, which is they put up a screen immediately. The big blue screen or black
yeah.
screen that goes up so there's nothing to see. Also, they should put a camera up. And the camera should be placed behind the cop car or in the back of the cop car. And it simply says, if you slow down to look at this, your license will be photographed and you'll be fined $300. So you'll see people moving along at a pretty good clip because, oh, no, I better if I slow down, it'll cost me. The cost of you looking at something for 10 seconds affects somebody 4 miles back. They're now 20 minutes late to work because you got a chance to look at flashing lights and a broken taillight.
It's not going to be an issue with self-driving cars. They'll self-regulate. There won't be accidents,
but
number
that
one.
Time, Felix, stop going super optimistic.
I'm doing futuristic stuff.
I don't want to do that.
It's hard. Yeah, people back understand.
Back to Sully.
Yeah, so the bottom line is that's what you get at Kyra Radio, John. You don't just get, here's an accident, here's a thing. You get traffic and analysis, and you also get expertise, which again is me.
Right.
Wow. And I'm there to help us just get through this, because, I mean, if we all are a little less selfish behind the wheel, which includes looky-loo slowdowns and things and not letting people merge,
yeah.
we'll all benefit from this.
Do you think it would be a good idea, while this is going on, that if we were to have some sort of public display of courtesy, that you would put a C in your car for caring or courtesy, or a, no, seriously.
Courtesy on board, like one of those
baby
on board things.
Thing. But it would be on the front windshield, a little C, maybe a smiley face, basically meaning I've got your back, you've got mine, we'll look out for one another through this. And you would start to see, oh, if they put it in the window, somebody else puts it in the
wow.
window. Seriously, the idea that we're all in it together and you're publicly declaring that, listen, I know this sucks, but it sucks just as much as it does for you as it does for me, so let's just all try to make it through this thing.
So in the hardship, there'd be unity, not unlike during wartime. If this was the home front, we'd be doing our part with scrap drives and paper drives that we'd just be courteous to each other.
Right. We would have victory gardens and blackout curtains.
Yeah, that'd be, we still have our blackout curtains at the beach house. Okay. From World War II. That's
blackout.
Do you have anything else you want to say?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be here throughout this 9 o'clock hour doing traffic on the three.
Hey, it's almost time for another one. Just keep talking.
Busy. hey, you know, I can't waste a segment. But the bottom
line,
the
audience
the bottom line for that we learned from today is yes. Don't be fooled.
Okay.
This was a Monday,
right.
Lighter than normal.
Yes.
And stick with the plan. The commute started on I-5 about an hour earlier than normal. Uh-huh. The commute out of West Seattle started about an hour and 20 minutes earlier. So don't be fooled. Stick with your game plan, and we'll see how this thing progresses. This was an unusual day. This was also day one. We'll see how it progresses.
How would you feel about this? That if people notice somebody acting like a douchebag, they would then text you their license plate number, and you would read or retext that license plate number out to everybody. You okay with that?
No, because they'd be violating the text law. I don't want my drivers texting while driving. If they can voice to text, sure. Or have their passenger text them. I'm not sure I'm going to read their names out on the air.
Not their names, but, just the license plates.
But, you know, whatever. Just as long as they aren't violating the law to do something, I'm cool with that.
I understand.
Can I ask one micro question really quickly?
Sorry. Sully will be back
okay.
in 3 minutes.
No, I'm really curious. Southbound 99 goes all the way through to the tunnel, and we can get off at Western still.
Is this a historic question?
What's that like this morning? Any ideas?
I have not seen much traffic at all on 99 and that particular spot. In fact, that might not be a bad option for you. Again, this was day one. If everybody tries that tomorrow, we'll be backed up to the zoo.
And I went northbound through the tunnel Saturday and did the slalom through the orange barrels. It was awesome.
In the tunnel?
Yes, you could do slalom.
Oh, God, I thought I was thinking, okay. I was thinking the 99 tunnel.
Hey, wow, look at the red light. We're actually broadcasting. Trump has concealed details of the face-to-face encounter with Putin from senior officials. This from the Washington Post. Who's the sound from, by the way?
I believe these are all Trump responding to these reports, actually.
Okay, this is... Fox asking Trump straight up if he's involved with the Russians.
Are you now or have you ever worked for Russia, Mr. President?
I think it's the most insulting thing I've ever been asked. I think it's the most insulting article I've ever had written. And if you read the article, you'd see that they found absolutely nothing. But the headline of that article, it's called The Failing New York Times for a Reason. They've gotten me wrong for 3 years. They've actually gotten me wrong for many years before that.
Okay. Trump also says he's not trying to keep any secrets.
I had a conversation like every president does. You sit with the president of various countries. I do it with all countries. We had a great conversation. We were talking about Israel and securing Israel and lots of other things. And it was a great conversation. I'm not keeping anything under wraps. I couldn't care less. Think of it. I have a one-on-one meeting with Putin like I do with every other leader. I have many one-on-one. Nobody ever says anything about it. But with Putin, they say, oh, what did they talk about? We talked about very positive things because, look, we are beating everybody.
Okay. And then finally, he's responding to the report that you had a meeting and the only person in there was Rex Tillerson. Trump, in a sort of unprecedented thing, asked no one to keep notes. And then I think he asked the translator to keep notes. But can you imagine being a translator taking notes at the same time? Here's the response to the question.
I never worked for Russia. And you know that answer better than anybody. I never worked for Russia. Not only did I never work for Russia, I think it's a disgrace that you even asked that question. Because it's a whole big fat hoax. It's just a hoax.
That's the president responding to the fact that an FBI investigation was started right after Comey was fired. They wanted to find out whether or not he was under the control of Russia or working for Russia, so they started the investigation.
So back to the notes thing for a second. The reason that they want the notes to be kept when two leaders meet, it's not to see if the guy's colluding with anybody.
Right.
Basically, there's this whole deep state infrastructure that wants to know what the conversation was, so then that whole diplomacy corps, everyone in the State Department, can base their policy and their other decisions and agendas for upcoming meetings about right. what was said at the meeting. It's common. It's the way they do business. It's nothing weird.
Right.
So to not have the notes means it's like it limits the effectiveness of the State Department.
Well, let's look at what was happening July 2017. If you Google July 2017 or spring 2017, you put in leaks. The number of leaks coming out of the White House was so extreme that they hired this Scaramouche who said he was going to fire everybody that leaked. And they were going to start an investigation into that. And he went after Rance Priebus, saying, well, the leaking is starting from you. There were all these fingers pointed back and forth. So when Trump sits down with Putin, he doesn't want any more leaking. So he figures the best way to control this is I'll throw everybody out of the room. And the only person that's going to be sitting in there is going to be my Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, and I'm going to have a translator there. So no leaks. This is the way we're going to control it, by not allowing anybody into the room.
But leaks have been around forever, right?
And
they don't do any damage. They just sort of expose things and let the conversation go beyond just the inner core.
Well, no, right? They can destroy things. They can really mess things up. And people leak for a particular reason, if they want to be able to expose some information or give the news the bit of news before the spin can be put on it. People leak for a reason. No one's leaking for transparency's sake. All leaks are politically oriented.
There's some agenda. There's something you think is wrong.
Right.
It might not be political. It might be ethical, or it might be some kind of disagreement with the way things are being run. Not from a political standpoint. Just like that whole notion of there's only a certain number of grown-ups still left in the White House, or there were at a certain point. So, but this thing with the FBI investigation that was started after Comey was fired, there's been talk about that was irresponsible. That that was a political decision to launch that investigation. It seems like you kind of want the FBI being able to make decisions outside of the political sphere, and that wasn't out of line to start an investigation that whether Trump had some connection to Russia based on those actions he was taking, based on how they looked in that era and then in 2017.
What I don't understand, isn't the FBI like the police in that they're sitting there waiting for the phone call? Doesn't somebody have to call them or report to them that they believe a crime has been committed? Or does the FBI have the ability to sort of awaken itself, think that there may be something going on, and then begin an investigation? I tried to find that. I can't find it.
This article,
and then I gave up and started complaining about playing bingo.
The article gets into that a little bit because it says there's sort of two functions of the FBI. One is that domestic criminal function, but there's also this counterintelligence thing. And they can self-activate. That's sort of their whole role, is to keep their eyes open for stuff that might be – that no one would call, that you wouldn't call the police. Hey, I think the president's colluding with Russia. Get down here right away. Can you describe the president for me, man? What did he look like?
Whoa. We're not doing voices.
Oh, come on. Yeah, it's
all right.
You know, I did it on purpose. I wanted to do it before you did to cut you off at the pass.
I will say this, that the FBI did do the investigation because they said, what if, according to those close to the sources of the story, what if he was working for behalf of Putin? Then something bad would probably happen. So they wanted to look into it. I guess they have no evidence that anything did happen. The FBI, if somebody probably would have leaked it if there was evidence that we do know.
That's not how I read the story.
Did you read that they have evidence that Russia and that Trump is working for Putin?
What I read was that once Mueller was appointed the special counsel, he took over whatever functions the FBI was doing as part of that investigation that opened into whether the president was colluding with Russia or not. That became absorbed into the Mueller probe, and there's been very little leaked about that, or very little known about that so far in terms of where he took that. So we don't know. We just know that an investigation was started by the FBI, taken over as part of the larger Mueller inquiry.
So 2016, we start that thing. Have we gotten any evidence that there's been collusion between Trump and Russia?
Well, we don't expect to, because the actual report's not out yet. And Mueller's done such a fabulous job of keeping the lid on things that we don't know yet. And so it's all speculation.
Yeah, so he squeezes Manafort and he squeezes some of the other folks that close to the Trump campaign administration in order to be able to show that they were evading taxes or lying
they're weak.
To the FBI.
They're weak, John. They're weak.
Lying to the FBI. But I don't see any collusion. I do see that Russia definitely wanted Trump to win. There is no doubt about that. Make it as difficult as possible for Hillary Clinton. And then also just basically they wanted to be able to put the squeeze to Barack Obama. Interesting story that came out. It was a special envelope that was delivered from the CIA to the White House. I think it was in July 2016. And Obama gets it. And it basically says Russia is deeply, deeply involved in trying to do something and mess stuff up when it comes to this election. So the Obama administration was struck between a rock and a hard place. Great piece from The Atlantic saying that Obama gets this, looks at it, and is like, oh, my God. He had very few options. He could tell everybody, hey, look at this. The Russians are trying to come in here and affect the election, which would be really bad, right?
Because that would be as if he was throwing it in favor of Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Yeah, I guess.
So then it's like then people would get all upset. Is our election process not protected? What are the Russians trying to do? So he basically downplayed it. He slapped him a little bit on the wrist. I think what he assumed was Hillary would win, like everybody else thought.
Yep.
And then Hillary and Obama together would then start really whacking away at Putin for what he was trying to do in the election.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
Are you feeling any Trump fatigue at all? What's your Trump fatigue? It's January, 14th? You feeling any, 2019 Trump fatigue?
No, I don't care. I don't care.
All right.
I noticed on board the ship that nobody was talking politics. And the reason was, there was 1,500 people on board. Guess how many Russians were on board? 950 Russians out of 1,500 people.
you did tell us this fact in the pre-show meeting. I was curious who was announcing this fact of the breakdown in terms of the
really
passengers.
Really angry guy from the UK sitting next to me.
He had actual numbers.
He did have.
Wow.
He went around and counted them.
That's a.
And by
that's
the
a
way, first, I'm going to give.
Was this
give
an ethnic
some,
division cruise you went on
give,
or something?
Let me give you some. Everybody there looked like they coming out of a Tolstoy novel. They a lot of women with like lots of things on. Guys all look like their wives. Wives look like the guys. All the Russian people. The other thing is this. No one queues up. Queuing up is it's a British term for line. No one lines up better than, I'll give you here's number one lining up, the Americans. Best at lining up. Number two, UK, right behind. Then yeah. India. This is a sweeping generalization of people on a cruise ship. The worst country for lining up, queuing up are Russians. Flat out the worst. Horrible people bumping into you, reaching around you, just trying to get to the yogurt. It's like, good Lord, get me off this ship. All right, I'm finished. Again. Here we go. Laura's Home Loans, 833-ASK-LAURA. If you need a mortgage, it's Laura's Home Loans at 833-ASK-LAURA. Thanks, Laura Keel. By the way, last name Keel, you recognize that name? Synonymous with great customer service. You got the best people working for 833-ASK-LAURA. That's Laura's Home Loans. All right. You can write to us at mynorthwest.com. You can also come in through the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. Great ways to get in touch with us. It's good to be back, everybody. Thanks a lot for writing and telling me please come back from vacation. I cut it short, came back early. I listened to about 10 minutes of the show, and then I wrote to Jacob, oh, my God. And Jacob wrote back, stop listening. Thank you, Jacob.
Okay. Wasn't a day I was hosting, obviously.
Were you on Friday?
No.
Brazil has a problem. This is a story from the Wall Street Journal. How many people died? 64,000 homicides in 2017. The highest overall numbers in the world. 70% are committed by firearms of these crimes. And they're widely available to criminals in the black market. They've got very restrictive gun laws there. You have to pay $1,000 to get a gun. That's your license to get a gun. Mm-hmm. Then you have to reapply every year. I think it's $85 or something like that to reapply to get the license. Even if you say, I need the gun for defense, personal defense, even that's not enough to get you the gun. Most people that apply, the government shut them down and said you can't get them. In 2005, the overwhelming majority in Brazil voted to not ban handguns and to allow, eventually by 2006 and 7 and 8, start to allow more guns in control of private citizens and take away the government's ability to stop us from having guns.
Yeah, because one of the other background checks, you had to have a steady job and no criminal history, and then the police had the ultimate say, which was apparently pretty random or whimsically applied in determining on who would get one, who couldn't, and it was always on the side of, mostly on the side of people couldn't. So the theory is that with all these murders in Brazil, the bulk of which are from firearms, that adding more firearms to the mix to have more crossfire going back and forth will improve things, which, I mean, who knows? Maybe it will.
No, it's not crossfire. So the new president's basically allowing you to defend yourself. Here's the basic, simple theory. And I always say this to Tom. Hey, Tom, because Tom's against guns, would you put a sign in your window at home that says, this is a no-gun home? The answer is no. The reason you wouldn't is because you're basically advertising to somebody. If they're going to rob you, they'd go to that house because the fear of being shot is slim to none.
Are we a little bit spoiled where we live just because our police are generally pretty good and response times are generally pretty good and you can get by without having a gun for the most part? I mean, obviously there's exceptions, but where we live is very different from Brazil, I would say, in terms of like the need to arm yourself to protect yourself day to day.
Oh,
right?
Sure. Plus, it's such a corrupt country, too.
Yeah.
You're paying off the cops or you're going to get protection from somebody else. Let's just go to it's an animal mano-a-mano world. And it goes this way. If you're going to rob somebody, do you want to rob somebody with a gun or without a gun?
If I'm going to rob somebody?
You're going to rob somebody.
Without a gun, of course.
Sure.
Yeah.
So now, basically, the government has said to the people of Brazil, go ahead, robbers. The majority of people that you will attempt to rob do not have a gun. Now, all of a sudden, it throws into the mix. Could be a possibility that the guy that I'm about to rob is might have a gun, I could possibly get shot, you'd be less likely to rob that guy.
But that would also be hoping that the person wielding the gun in a robbery would have judgment to be able to make those kind of judgment calls.
You do is you create just a little seed of doubt in the mind of the robber that possibly the guy could have a gun.
I used to work with a guy who carried a 9mm pistol with him in his book bag all the time. He was going to school at UW. We were both working part-time at a little map store in downtown Seattle.
Yeah.
And he would tell me, he had acknowledged, he was a former Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
Trained in the use of firearms, could defend himself with just his hands. He told me the different ways he could take my ponytail and break my neck. And he was very talented, right?
Yeah.
And so I always thought, like, when this guy was there, I thought, okay, if we get robbed, he has his gun. We're probably fine.
Yeah.
But he was trained. He knew how to use it. The idea of anyone just getting a gun, it just seems like it's not necessarily the best idea. It seems like the best situation is kind of like what we have here, where the police are well-trained, well-funded, and ideally there's enough of them on duty, and there's enough of a culture here that you don't have to step outside your door and think you're going to get shot just because you don't have a gun.
Cops don't stop.
We're spoiled here.
No. Cops don't stop crime. Cops respond to crime. So the crime occurs, you call the cop. A friend of mine that got mugged decided mugged numerous times, like Bernie Getz in New York, decided he's going to start to carry a gun.
Yeah.
Simple gun he buys. He's not a Navy SEAL that can break your neck with your own ponytail or other hair.
I don't have a ponytail anymore, as you've noticed.
Right. So he buys a gun. He's out near the Philadelphia Art Museum. He steps off the bus. It's 7 o'clock at night. It's wintertime in Philadelphia, and it's dark. Two guys come up to him. Two kids come up to him. They have a gun, and they go to mug him.
Mm-hmm.
He says, let me get my wallet. Hold on. He tries to calm him down. He reaches in his back pocket like he's getting his wallet, and he pulls out a gun and points it right at the other kid that has the gun.
Yeah.
Right. And says, I'm going to kill you right now.
Did he have any kind of training for that? Because if I carried a gun, and I thought about this. Last time we got together, I talked how my thoughts were evolving on this. When you think about all these movie theater shootings, you think, like, if you ever end up being stuck in a mass shooting and you don't have a gun, you feel like a chump.
Yeah.
But it seems like you'd have to be trained, because I would think, like, my hands would be shaking. I'd just be like, and then, you know, it'd be like a Don Knotts movie if you pulled out a gun. If I had to pull out a gun on somebody who was trying to mug me, I'd have the gun pointed at myself. And I'd be like, you know, drop it and fire. And
I had to
get the one bullet out of my pocket. No, but seriously, though, it seems like the training part of it and the scenario preparation key to all this stuff.
We'll find out what happens. When Brazil allows more people to have guns, will you just have more robbers robbing people that have guns and possibly shooting somebody? I showed you video that I found on YouTube. Cop is driving his cop motorcycle down the street. He's got a camera on top of his helmet. A motorcycle pulls up next to him in an intersection. And what happens next?
The guy on the motorcycle, the civilian, grabs his handlebar, makes him stop, and pulls out a gun and steals the motorcycle from the cop. Right there. See, that's a cultural thing. I don't think all of a sudden flooding the market with guns available for anybody who wants it, that's not going to change overnight. That's going to take a generation of cultural understanding that you don't just pull up on your scooter and pull over a cop and steal his motorcycle. That kind of stuff happens very rarely in the United States. Thank God.
This proves my point I was trying to make. Because here's a guy robbing a cop who already has a gun. Well, the good news on that story is the cop shot and killed the guy that was on the motorcycle.
Yeah.
There you go. Bizarre. Good news around for everybody. By the way, Oregon proposes would require gun owners to obtain permits. This is an opportunity to slightly restrict the Second Amendment, or at least Oregon to do what it can to make people feel good when they set up more laws that just make it more difficult for law-abiding citizens to defend themselves.
Well, I mean, it's very similar to what the legislation that passed here in Washington State that would require permits for all firearms other than 22s. You'd be fined if you didn't have your firearm secured. You'd be fined if you didn't report a theft within 24 hours. There'd be limits on the amount of ammunition you could purchase. And there'd be background checks if you were selling a firearm on the private market. It's all what I feels to be like common sense stuff that if it's applied uniformly and really enforced, it would eliminate some of the problems of people either who are mentally ill or have a criminal record who shouldn't be having possession of firearms. It would stop that, right?
It doesn't really get into the mental illness, or is it just more restrictions? Because let's remember, people that don't obey laws don't care how many laws that you make, right?
Yeah, yes. I don't think it actually does not specifically address mental illness. I guess not.
Yeah, good. All righty, here we go. It's Tom and Curly Show. I'm back from vacation early. I made the mistake last year of saying I was going on vacation. I went on it. I hated the whole idea of it and decided to cut it short and come back early.
Is it the quality of the vacation, or you're one of those just workaholic guys?
I just don't like the idea of being away.
Yeah.
And people writing in saying, hey, where are you? The three people that cared.
It's the same people again and again. Yeah, using different identities. Where is he?
Please come back. And then other people are like, we hate you. Glad you're not there. There's a guy that owns an apartment, and he has decided he's going to rent it out. I am sure he is happy with these two tenants that have moved in because they're probably very quiet and very clean.
Probably hard to read their emotions.
Yep. And are fairly independent.
Yes, probably give you off a sense of just not really necessarily wanting to do anything you want them to do.
We'll spend most of their time sitting in windows licking themselves.
Who hasn't had tenants like that in their rental properties?
Here is the owner of the apartment.
I have a buddy who has a daughter who went to a college, and his daughter had these cats who she loved, and they had lived with them, and my buddy was moving down to start a company in Silicon Valley, and he lived in Livermore, and so he came down, and he had no place for the cats. His daughter went to Azusa Pacific down in Southern California. So he was over, and we were chatting about it. And
this guy's giving far too many details. They're not moving the story
Livermore?
Forward.
Livermore? I mean, come on. Let me get my California road atlas out and figure out how many miles that is.
And what was she majoring in? What was the breed of the cat?
What's the acceptance rate at Azusa College these days? You have to do an essay? Are there supplemental questions?
Did they really look that closely at the SATs? Get to it!
I have nowhere to put these cats. I said, well, you know, I got a room. I've been thinking about renting it. He says, hey, what if I paid you to put my cats up? I said, what do you mean? He says, well, what if they just stayed in the room? I said, okay, sure, I guess.
Sure, I guess. Okay, he's a buddy, because he starts this thing off with a buddy of mine.
I have a buddy.
So my buddy needs a place to put his cats.
And he says...
Yeah, he says, hey, how about I... Do you have a place for my cat? And this guy has a room. Now, don't forget, it's his buddy.
And he goes.
So then he goes like this. Here's the best part of the story. So his buddy asked for a room for the cats.
There's two cats, Tina and Louise. Very cute cats.
Oh, my God.
And they just stay there. So I figured, you know.
What's worse, this or listening to Sully saying there is no traffic? Let me ask you right now. Right now, hold on. What's worse, Sully saying there's no traffic, or because I got 20 more and more seconds of this guy talking about these cats?
Well, Sully's interactive. You can ridicule Sully and kind of prompt him to say weird things. But this guy's just, it's just a tape of this guy.
The cats, you know, they don't have opposable thumbs. Ah. You know, they don't have attitude. Well, they have attitudes, but they don't, you know, they don't talk back.
Okay, Jacob. This is 56 seconds of my life I will never get back.
Well, he says one funny thing at the end.
And they don't know who Trump is, so that's great. So I said, you know, why not? So we stuck them in, and they've been great. They live in there. We come see them. We feed them. We keep them there, and they just love. They're loving life. They're living large.
And you know what? You're living large, too, because he's charging his buddy $1,500 a month to keep two cats in a room.
Boy, it sounds like downtown Livermore has never looked better.